Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of our Transatlantic Conversation. For nearly 3 years, we've enjoyed the privilege of hosting Association Transformation for the international membership community. Over nearly 40 hours and 70 plus episodes, we've hosted more than 100 guests from the UK, the USA, Australia, South Africa, and many points in between. Regular listeners will know that over the years, we've covered a huge variety of topics, from change management, leadership relationships, and four-day weeks, to financial strategy, income generation, and modern governance practice. And of course, who could possibly forget the unicorns and the puppy dogs episode? We really hope you enjoy every episode, and while we will always make our content freely available, remember, subscribe wherever you get your favorite pods. If you would like to lend us your support, you can do so by subscribing to the pod from as little as $5 a month. Now, hopefully, it goes without saying that Elisa and I and the whole Association Transformation production team will appreciate your generosity and your ongoing support. To subscribe, visit patreon.com/Association Transformation and choose the monthly subscription level that suits you best. That's Patreon, patreon.com/Association Transformation. And remember, whatever you're up to today, put your members and your mission first. Enjoy the pod.
Well, hello, and welcome to Association Transformation. I'm excited. I'm once again a little sad because my partner in crime is not with me today. But this is Elisa Pratt with Brewer Pratt Solutions, and I am unfortunately not joined by Andrew Chamberlain. He'll be with us next time. I know we haven't been on too many podcasts together, but I'm excited about who's with me today. So this makes up for it all. So no pressure, Troy. No pressure, but I'm excited to have with me Troy Stenbach from ASI, the Director of Client Performance Improvement. And I mean, that's a pretty impressive title. We have some heavy hitters on this podcast. So Troy meets the mark, and we're excited to have him. I'm not a techie, so I don't really know that Andrew is either, but we're excited to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Elisa. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Well, we were first introduced to you through a webinar panel that you guys hosted earlier in the year. ASI put something together to talk about toxic tech. And when I first read that, I thought of it as a mother, my kid getting into bad places on the internet and internet bullying or whatever it may be. But when I read the article or when I read the prompt and I participated in the webinar, I gained a whole new appreciation for just how dangerous a toxic culture around your organization's technology can be. What prompted you? What do you see within your client environments that prompted you to, I don't know if you guys coined that phrase, but what is toxic tech?
Yeah, good question. And it's not a phrase that we coined, but it was a phrase that I found myself searching for. The phrase was actually coined. Well, I will give credit. Now, he may have got it from somewhere else, but I'll give credit to Dave Rogers. Dave Rogers of Columbia Business School. He wrote a book called The Digital Transformation Playbook. I stumbled across one of his articles about toxic technology culture. And when I was searching for some information, it actually stemmed from meetings that we have with our clients. So, as Director of Client Performance Improvement, what we do is go in and we meet with organizations, our clients who are struggling to get the most out of their software and their technology investments. And they're really trying to figure out what it is that's holding them back. Why aren't they able to use the software effectively? Why aren't they getting the information that they need? Why are they struggling? And we realized along the way that technology is only a small part of the conversation. It's often not the technology or the tools that we're using. It's all these other things, right? It's going back to basics. It's looking at those root causes. So Dave Rogers had said in his book, Toxic Technology describes the harmful characteristics caused by poor design or neglect. Now, poor design, he says, is common in an industry where outputs are often favored over outcomes, but neglect is systemic. It's caused by short-termist cultures, processes, and practices.
Wait. That means it's caused by people.
There's a
human element to this, yeah.
And that's what we are finding. I mean, here's some quick examples, right? If this sounds like you, right, this is what we hear from clients often. Software has a bad reputation at our organization.
Okay, nobody likes it. Nobody wants to use it. Okay.
Yep. Staff are complaining. Or we hear about customers who've tried to implement new software but failed to launch. Sometimes multiple times with multiple vendors, right? Yeah. And it makes you question, well, maybe it's not the software, right?
How dare you?
Right? We know we could be getting more out of our technology. We don't know where to start. Everything has to go through the IT department. You know, these are all signs and symptoms of things that, you know, tell us there's something else that we need to look at. Or they have redundant systems doing the same things for different departments. You know, those are just some real quick observations that I'm sure people will align with.
So this is a marriage of the organizational culture and the technology platforms, you know, how they've been set up, which again comes back to the people. So I'm getting the sense that toxic tech is really about a toxic culture and how the technologies are or aren't being used.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Wow. Technology plays its part, but it's only a small part.
Right. Well, you know, what was really interesting to me was an article you guys recently put out, which was kind of the other side of the coin, which is continuous process improvement. And I love that you had the analogy of your human health. And you know, we all know what we're supposed to do to take care of ourselves. And do we do it? Do we kind of put that on the back burner? We know what it's supposed to be day in and day out, but we don't. And so from toxic to continuous improvement, I feel like you're kind of my tech doctor. And now I can look at, you know, the organization, the holistic health of the organization, and really come to terms with the human piece of it. What are we not doing to support our own tech outcomes? What's the other side of this? What does continuous process improvement mean? Is it realistic? Is it just something we all aspire to?
It's certainly something we should all aspire to. It's a mindset, right? And it's about getting the mindset instilled in the organization. If we don't have that mindset in the organization, and I think we all see this either in our personal lives or in our organizations, you know, we become stale, we become stagnant, we go with what's easy, right? Because that's the way we've always done it. So that's the way we're going to continue to do it.
So is this where the doctor says to you, it's a lifestyle change? It's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change. Okay.
Exactly. You go into the doctor because you're complaining about your knees, for example, right? But it's not about the knee. If you want to address the knee, you've got to, you know, you got to lose the weight. You got to exercise more. You got to do all the things that we all know we should be doing. But it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to put it into practice and make it routine.
And continuing in this, you know, this story that we've developed here, tech is supposed to be the quick fix. Tech is supposed to be what makes things easy. Tech is supposed to be what gets you to your results faster. So where have we lost that? Where has tech become, you know, why is tech not getting us those outcomes?
Often it's because we're not aligning the technology with where we're trying to get to, right? Mm-hmm. We find that people will grab technology, they'll grab the latest technology, or they will try to find a technical solution to a problem that they're having. But the problem is they start with the technology and they're not looking at what's the strategic goal that we're trying to achieve? What is the mission or the vision that we're trying to drive forward here? And often those decisions are made departmentally. They're made in silos. So one department will go out and select a new software package to do something that they need to do yesterday. And turns out, you know, that's the third email software that association is using because two other departments selected two different tools and the IT has a different standard. And none of them synchronize to their single source of truth. So, you know, these are all the things that we see when people start with technology as the solution.
Yeah. So where does an organization, you mentioned, my knee hurts. I'm going to go to the doctor. What should an organization be aware of? What symptoms should they be, should they see? And what symptoms, when they pop up, tell them that they have a larger problem?
Yeah, and the symptoms are interesting. I mean, the things that there were some examples I offered at the start, but also it's in the complaints, that we hear from staff. It's not user friendly. It doesn't do what I want it to do. It's old. It's outdated. It's hard to support. It's hard to change or configure. These are the warning signs, that we've got possibly a toxic culture that we need to take a look at.
But those symptoms, people are usually pointing the finger at the software.
Always.
As an organization, how do you turn the mirror to yourself and recognize that it is the culture? It's not the tools you've chosen. It's the environment in which you're plugging them in.
Yeah, and
that's a hard thing to admit, I'm sure.
It is, and it's the hard truth, right? And it's a conversation that we're trying to have with our clients. You need to look in the mirror. Your organization culture is at the root of many of the challenges that you're facing.
Oh man, this is the worst doctor conversation ever, when they look at you and you say, this is because of what you're doing. This is because of you.
Yep. But I mean, you can have that conversation, or you can carry on in ignorance. And well, we all know what, that's going to result in. You're going to get the same results that you've always had. Yeah. And we've seen customers switch between various software packages. But guess what? If you don't address that root culture, you just carry those bad practices into the next package. If you didn't learn how to use the previous one, well, you're not going to learn how to use the new one. So you're still going to struggle with the same things.
Yeah. Well, and with some, again, with this health analogy, you have to do the work, right? You have to make the changes. You have to be, you have to invest in the continuous improvement and do the work. What is the payoff? A lot of people, when they have to make these kind of changes and these acknowledgments, it's not easy. The team has to be sold on the journey that's about to be taken. What does the end look like? How is life better once you've undertaken these things and you've come to these realizations and made and changed the culture?
Yeah, and I think it's numerous things. What we have found, we had one of our guests on the webinar when we did our roundtable, and one of the biggest things for their executive was to just change some of the wording they used. And when they were looking at their software packages, they said, you know what, these are no longer IT projects and IT decisions. These are organizational decisions. This is organizational change that we're about to go through, whether that's a software implementation, a new software selection, an upgrade to your existing package, whatever those cases may be. That sets a strong precedent for the staff that the executive are committed to this. The payoff then is you get everybody rowing in the same direction, right? Imagine trying to row your boat and everybody's off pace and you're turning one direction because one team's rowing at a different pace than the other side. I mean, you need that guidance, that strong direction to set the stage.
Well, one of the other benefits that I think is related here that you mentioned in your recent article is improved staff morale and reduced burnout. And in a post-COVID world, we're all looking to give new life to our teams and to help them find that balance and reduce all of those issues. How does this help?
Yeah, with the staff and morale, I mean, nobody wants to waste their time, I guess, right? Nobody wants to waste their time. So when processes are inefficient, when people are doing things that they really know they probably don't need to do or could be doing a better way, but they don't ask. So having a culture of continuous performance improvement allows that employee to ask and say, hey, you know what? This really seems onerous, what I'm doing. Isn't there a better way that we could do this? And the example that I think that I come up with regularly on this is spreadsheets, right? How many times do we go for information out of our systems? And if we can't get it, or we don't trust the numbers, or accounting's giving us a different number than the membership department, we build a spreadsheet because we're going to manually count these things up because we don't trust the systems and we don't trust the data that we're getting.
Our rebellious spreadsheets, yes.
Yep. Or systems don't integrate. And, you know, you've got to pull this together some way. And that's a big waste of time. Systems nowadays can tell us all of these things. It's all there if you've got that single source of truth.
So what I like about this, you know, we have people come onto the podcast and they talk about solutions, and usually the bigger they are, the more promises that are made, I see dollar signs. And I'm actually relieved here in this conversation, because it sounds like if we accept that the softwares aren't the problem, it's a cultural piece, then we don't have some big price tag on the next tool or the next tech that we're trying to simply patch in. It may be expensive in other ways, expensive in time, expensive in people, expensive in political capital that has to be expended from the leadership, but at least we can stop chasing big ticket tech plugins that aren't, in your point, aren't going to change anything because we haven't addressed the root cause.
Right. And address the root cause and choose the technology that's going to support the mission and the vision and the strategic plan that you've put together, as opposed to previously what I would say would be a haphazard tech culture, right? We're grabbing the next tool because, you know what, we needed something yesterday. I worked with a client who came in on a Monday morning and somebody had thrown up a Shopify store over the weekend because, well, they needed one, right? But it didn't integrate with their association management technology. It didn't integrate with their core systems, you know, but it was solving a point problem that they had.
Especially us non-techies, we fall into these traps because there's so many new tools. There's so many new shiny objects out there that can address an immediate need. And I guess it's like the diet, you know, it's all the sugars and all the things that we want that immediate gratification. And we have to create an organizational discipline to wait, to ask the right questions, to see what's already in place. You mentioned taking the IT piece off of it and making it organizational. If that's to be true, how do staff then address these pop-up needs that they have? I guess this is really about breaking down silos, in organizations. But what do you see working within your clients' environments where they have adopted continuous performance improvement? How do these initial needs get addressed so that what they've fixed stays fixed?
Yeah. And one of the core things that we try and instill with customers, I work with a number of them through our performance improvement advisory service. And we always recommend that they get a technology steering committee in place.
On staff.
On staff.
So like a staff committee.
A staff committee, technology steering committee. I actually had a customer just create one. They called it their digital innovation committee.
Interesting. So from across departments.
Cross department. And you also have to have executive sponsorship in there, right? You
want
to
ensure
that. Yeah. So bringing that group together then allows those cross departmental conversations that so often don't happen. Mm-hmm. I've been in many of these meetings and the departments say, oh, I didn't know you did that. Or I didn't know that my output was an input to this for you, or vice versa, or just didn't realize what each other was doing, or that they each had a role to play on the member record, as an example.
Cross-departmental communications. What a concept, right?
Crazy, right?
Well, I love that internal task force idea. And then I would guess they make recommendations to the executive team or to, you know, to the deciders.
Great. IT plays a role in that committee, but they're no longer the owners or the deciding factor. The organization is going to choose the technology that makes sense for what the organization is trying to achieve. And that also helps free up IT staff time, because so often they're not a roadblock, but they become a bottleneck because everybody's going to IT for everything that they need. And those IT project lists can be endless.
Yeah,
so it's also helping them.
One of the symptoms that came up multiple times that you described was, you know, staff not, you know, complaining about the tools that they have or not wanting to use them. Before you can improve, you have to know what you have. How do you start this? If we accept the fact that it's not the tech, it's the people, how do we look at what we have with fresh eyes to evaluate the potential within our existing systems?
What we will recommend is, one, you got to take a look at your business processes. And often clients will have business processes, but often they will not. It's in somebody's head. It's written on a piece of paper. It's how we do things. I recall having to fish some instructions that I had a photocopy of out of the shredding pile that I was about to shred because a client called me and said, hey, this staff member left. Do you know how I do this process? And I'm like, well, if you're lucky, I've got that in my shredding pile because I took a photocopy of it last time I was there. Right. So first, business process. That's one thing. And then the other thing is system knowledge. So often we hear from customers, have you taken any training from your vendor, right? From your technology vendor? Do you know how to use the software? No, we don't really know how to use the software. Somebody showed me for 10 or 15 minutes when I started here. Well, where did they get their information from? Well, they were trained by the person that they replaced. And you find out it's four generations removed since anybody actually really learned how to use the software package. So it's a game of telephone at that point. And you don't know what the message was at the start, but it's certainly not correct by the time it got to the end of the telephone chain.
This is also, I don't know about you, but I continue to draw, you know, correlations to physical health. And, you know, we don't read the directions. We don't follow the instructions. We just go with it.
Yep.
And then we take from one healthcare plan to another, you know, the same behaviors that didn't work the first time, and we expect a different result. So much here that corresponds to that. I think that there are organizations of all sizes with tech, you know, what do we call them? Tech stacks that have grown over time, probably even more so during COVID when everyone needed to plug in emergency things to get stuff done in a new and hybrid world. I love this idea of a task force and holding up that mirror. This just all sounds so daunting, you know, like any visit to the doctor where they require holistic change. This just all sounds so daunting. What's realistic for organizations? If you realize you have a toxic tech culture, is this something that can happen in 6 months? Is this something that requires years? What's the normal evolution?
I would say normal would be hard to say, but I have... Right. I have worked with customers that we will go in and we will do a roadmap with them. And they've taken years to work their way through that roadmap for various reasons. But I've also worked with clients who realize that, you know, they need to change and they've got perhaps a new CEO or a new executive staff who are really looking at, you know, how to address things that they're seeing as they're coming in with fresh eyes. So we've been able to affect some transformations in 6 months, 9 months, you know, 12 months. So it doesn't have to be a long time frame. Again, it's you could join a boot camp, right? And, right. And you could feel a lot better and lose some weight after 30 days, right? If you're going to go every day, put the work in,
you got to do the work,
diet,
right.
You got to do the work is what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right, no quick fixes. We've got to take care of ourselves. We have to recognize the role we play in our own organizational health, the human piece of this. A lot to think about and again, no easy answers, but at least a path forward. And I really appreciate ASI's commitment to pushing this conversation. And it sounds like your clients are all in great hands. So thank you for bringing this to our attention, even us non-techies. The fact that we've accepted that tech is not the quick fix hurts a little bit, but I'm excited for organizations that are willing and able to do the work.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, this has been great. I think Andrew missed one here. Again, not Mr. Techie, but my biggest takeaway from this is it's not the tech, it's the people. So important conversations, and it sounds like ongoing conversations that need to continue to be had, not something you can address in one staff meeting or one vendor meeting and be done with. This has to be an ongoing conversation.
Absolutely.
So we'll have to check back in with you. So Troy, thank you so much for joining us on Association Transformation. We really appreciate it. Bring back some great client ideas. We'll have to visit with you again here in the next few months and see how others are taking on these tech health challenges. You're our tech doctor. You're officially our in-house tech doctor.
Fantastic. Thanks for the time today, Elisa.
Absolutely. And thanks for everyone for joining us. You can find Association Transformation wherever you get your podcasts. Make us one of your favorites. And until next time, put your members and your mission first.